In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We're all probably accustomed to hearing in Advent this verse from the prophet Isaiah, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Advent's a time of getting ready. Or, as we heard last week in our Advent lessons and carols, the bidding, which opens it up. Dear people of God, in the season of Advent, it is our responsibility and joy to prepare ourselves to hear once more the message of the angels, to go to Bethlehem and see the Son of God lying in a manger. Let us hear and heed in Holy Scripture the story of God's loving purpose from the time of our rebellion against him until the glorious redemption brought to us by his holy child Jesus. And let us look forward to the yearly remembrance of his birth with hymns and songs of praise. We're right in the middle of Advent right now, today and next week. After next Sunday, it finishes out. And here at Emmanuel, we do, as faithful Christians, as good Episcopalians, honor the season of Advent, of getting ready. I mean, on Sunday mornings, these four Sunday mornings, you know, our prayers with the paraments, that's these hangings. You all use blue for this season. Some places use purple. Sometimes pink is put in one Sunday. But with our prayers and paraments, with the Bible readings and our music, we get ourselves ready for Christmas. The Advent lessons and carols, a wonderful gift that you all have been offering for decades to the community. The greening of the church coming up next Sunday after this main service. The Advent wreath, the nativity scene. Oh, and always in Advent, the stewardship drive. So that's something we all recognize and helps each of us and all of us together spiritually prepare for this annual celebration of the nativity, of the incarnation. Now, outside the church, it's a little different. People see Christmas coming. And in fact, I just had a conversation this morning with Rachel, and she said she's gotten into discussions with people trying to explain that the 12 days of Christmas could start on Christmas Day. And this totally secular person was saying, no, it leads up to Christmas Day. It starts on Christmas Day, goes through January 6th, the Feast of the Epiphany. Those are the 12 days of Christmas. So outside the church, yeah, there's the wonderful winter celebration of Christmas, but it takes on a different cast, doesn't it? One of my own pet peeves, this is just a little thing, is Advent calendars. I used to like to get Advent calendars, and in fact, on the church schedule, because, as I just mentioned, it's not those 12 days of Christmas leading up. There's actually four Sundays, the four Sundays before Christmas Day, December 25th, constitute the Sundays in Advent. Advent always begins on that first of the four Sundays, and often as not, it's in November. And you used to be able to buy true Advent calendars. Often it was at a church bookstore or something like that. But now you can get Advent calendars anywhere, and they all start on December 1st. Never mind that that's not really Advent, but that's just kind of how the secular world takes it. Or Christmas songs that are ubiquitous all around, whether it's showing up on a preset playlist or when you go shopping someplace. And many of those are wonderful winter songs. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Here's from a list of 10 top Christmas songs according to ASCAP. What's that? It's the Professional Association for Music People. So have yourself a merry little Christmas. Winter Wonderland, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Sleigh Ride. And then you can tell we get a little more secular when we see Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. Or here's one, Jingle Bell Rock, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Great story. It was written for a JCPenney ad campaign around Christmas in the early 20th century, beginning to look a lot like Christmas. So those are some of the things that beyond church we start to hear. You're not going to hear those either in Advent nor in Christmas season around here. Now, something my wife is delighted with is football. This is football season. Now, I've become aware since I've sojourned here with you that there are a couple of football fans, and there are a couple of teams represented. I haven't fully figured that out yet, but you guys like football, and I don't know, one team's a little further north, one a little further east or something. I don't know. Christmas ads. We've noted in our household that Bigfoot, Sasquatch, the abominable snowman, seems to be the salesman of choice this year, selling all kinds of things. And Christmas trees, those ads come on for very expensive Christmas trees, I think right after Halloween. Now, in all fairness, we have succumbed to a pre-lit artificial tree. When the kids were growing up, it was a wonderful time to go out and cut down a live tree at a Christmas tree farm. But now our kids not only are grown up, but they have families of their own. They live in different states from us, and often as not, we'll go and travel to see them right after church services. And having a live tree just feels kind of dangerous. So we went with our oldest daughter's way of doing it and got ourselves a pre-lit artificial Christmas tree. I just have to bring it down from up in the attic, plug it in, straighten out the branches, and other than the ornaments, it's ready to go. Or all the charities on ads, particularly, I'm sure you've noted, for children, for pets and domestic animals, and for wild animals. Those are all the things they really want you to give money, and they're tugging at your heartstrings, because this is a heartstring season, even outside beyond the church. Gifts, that goes without saying, food, candy, baking, feasts. Now, here's one where you can tell you're not in church anymore is if you start paying attention to Christmas movies. Now, I looked up on IMDb, which is the Internet Movie Database, about the top 10 favorite Christmas movies. And the first one is another one that tugs at your heartstrings. It's A Wonderful Life, from right after World War II. And their synopsis of it is, an angel is sent from heaven to help a desperately frustrated businessman by showing him what life would have been like if he had never existed. Well, I'm sure many of you have watched that movie. Another way to summarize it is a man who has committed bank fraud contemplates suicide. Isn't that a great holiday summary for a movie? Now, the second one, I've actually seen debates on social media about whether this belongs in Christmas movies or not, but it shows up on the list as very popular this year. It's from 1988 with Bruce Willis, Die Hard. And the synopsis there, a New York City police officer tries to save his estranged wife and several others taken hostage by terrorists during a Christmas party. That makes it a Christmas movie, I guess. It was at a Christmas party. And the list goes on with some other delightful ones. A Christmas Carol with Ebenezer Scrooge, or Home Alone with solid Illinois roots. And in fact, many of you may be aware that there's some scenes take place in a church, and there were two churches used for that, one of them for the inside shots and one for the outside. One of them is up in Winnetka, just on the north shore of Chicago. It's either a Congregational or a Methodist church, I forget. The other is an Episcopal church down in Oak Park. And again, one was the inside and one was the outside. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It probably gives more insight into how some families work than many movies do. It goes on, A Christmas Story, Miracle on 34th Street. So you look at those movies, especially something like Die Hard, and okay, that's how the world kind of deals with Christmas entertainment, pre-Christmas entertainment. I mentioned gifts. Now, gifts are a curious thing. If you read very academic economists, they will tell you that gifts make no economic sense whatsoever, because you never know what to get that person, and they get re-gifted and pre-gifted and all kinds of stuff. Although in our house, we've tried to get some of that under control and leave little to chance or guesses. Christmas lists in our house often will say, I want this item in this color, in this size, from this website. So that I don't have to guess what my wife would like. And they don't have to wear once for me that ugly sweater that I thought was swell. Now, gift giving is part of the season, essentially because in God coming among us, the incarnation, the ultimate gift is given to us. But how are we really at gift giving? Let me offer you this poem by a poet named Billy Collins, who a couple times was the poet laureate for the United States. Some of you may have heard this, called The Lanyard. The other day, I was ricocheting slowly off the blue walls of this room, moving as if underwater from typewriter to piano, from bookshelf to an envelope lying on the floor, when I found myself in the L section of the dictionary, where my eyes fell upon the word lanyard. No cookie nibbled by a French novelist could send one into the past more suddenly, a past where I sat at a workbench at a camp by a deep Adirondack lake, learning how to braid long, thin plastic strips into a lanyard, a gift for my mother. I had never seen anyone use a lanyard, or wear one if that's what you did with them, but that did not keep me from crossing strand over strand again and again until I had made a boxy red and white lanyard for my mother. She gave me life and milk from her breasts, and I gave her a lanyard. She nursed me in many a sick room, lifted spoons of medicine to my lips, laid cold face cloths on my forehead, and then led me out into the airy light and taught me to walk and swim. And I, in turn, presented her with a lanyard. There are thousands of meals, she said, and here is clothing and a good education, and here is your lanyard, I replied, which I made with a little help from a counselor. Here's a breathing body and a beating heart, strong legs, bones, and teeth, and two clear eyes to read the world. She whispered, and here, I said, is the lanyard I made you at camp. And here, I wish to say to her now, is a smaller gift, not the worn truth that you can never repay your mother, but the rueful admission that when she took the two-tone lanyard from my hand, I was as sure as a boy could be that this useless, worthless thing I wove out of boredom would be enough to make us even. Well, doesn't that say a lot about gifts sometimes between us and those we love, and gifts between us and God, or us to God? But being human as we are, let us still heed the Advent bidding. Let us with gladness present the offerings and oblations of our life and labor to the Lord. Our King and Savior now draws near. Come, let us adore him. Amen.